Yes, we are focusing in a way that we usually don't focus, and a lot of energy goes into there, and also into digesting our experiences. We are not machines, but we are, taking on new information. Some of it may go to what we could call an existential place, where our very existence, our very life, so to say, is looked upon from a new perspective, and we might get new inspirations. And going on a retreat, like we are trying to do, is really exiting what we usually are surrounding ourselves with. We leave all this behind, and we come into an entirely new space where we need to first of all navigate ourselves. So therefore, it's always advised while on retreat to pace oneself so that the mind is not overly tired and can accept the new information. As we said earlier, going on a retreat is something that is very much there in our culture. It's known as a japa anusthan, where you pursue a spiritual goal with single-minded orientation. And I must really say I'm highly inspired by this particular group. When giving a retreat as a facilitator, one obviously always wishes to have devotees who are able to focus and to be there 100%. But that's sometimes not so easy because it's just everyone comes from their own lives. Even here, I noticed some of you were coming after driving 5-8 hours, sleeping in the car, going, and arriving early in the morning. After just some came from London, they must have been jet-lagged and so on. These are not ideal circumstances. I have seen this in my own life. I like to spend 1 month out of the year on a personal retreat to recharge my own batteries. But what I find out is that the first few days, I need to first of all settle, traveling, having sometimes up to 3 to 4 lectures a day in different locations, and then to sit down, it's not possible. I remember one day I gave the morning lecture at the Black Sea, then I gave a noon lecture in Moscow, and the evening lecture in London. So when you live such a life, and then you then you want to go on retreat, then first of all you need to breathe maybe normally, and then you can think of going deeper. So although some of you had a similar situation where you came flying in after a very hectic life, you are doing really well. One can see that during the japa, guided japa sessions in the God hour, when we are quite early, you're really there, and I'm very grateful to you. Maybe it is because we are more hungry after the lockdown, and we are more willing to apply ourselves than we normally are. But no matter what is the reason, it is a real pleasure, and therefore I am not shying away from the lecture which I will give today. This lecture is another discovery lecture. I have put the lecture together with the idea to present a new point, which is maybe stirring something up in you, you will see in a moment. So let us please start. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varad Dari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varad Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Gauranitaya Jaya Gauranitaya
Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Vrindavan Chanda Radha, Vrindavan Chanda Radha, Vrindavan Chanda Radha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etavatalam Agha Niharanaya Pungsang Sankirtanam Bhagavato Gunakarmanam Nam Vrukni Vikrushya Putram Agavan Yad Ajamilopi Narayaneti Mriyamana Ijaya Muktim Etavatala Magani Haranaya Pungsan
Etavatala Magani Haranaya Pungsan
Sankirtanam Bhagavato Gunakarmanam Nam
Sankirtanam Bhagavato Gunakarmanam Nam
Vikrushya Putra Magavan Yadajami Lopi Narayana neti miyama ivaja muktim
Narayana neti miyama
ijaya muktim Etavatala maganir haranaya pungsam Sankirtanam Bhagavato Gunakarmanam Nam
Sankirtanam Bhagavato Gunakarmanam Nam
Vikrushya Putra Magavan Yad Aja Milopi
Vikrushya Putra Magavan Yad Aja Milopi
Narayana Neti Miyama Ijaya Muktim Yes, please, someone else.
Sankirtanam
Bhagavato Gunakarmanam Nam
Maybe a Vaishnavi, if possible. Etavatala makani haranaya punsam. Sankirtanam bhagavato gunakan manamam. Vikusya putra magavanya dhamma mirodi. Adaya niti miyamana hidaya moktim. Hare Krishna, please permit me, because we are short of time, to immediately do the translation and then read certain selected passages of this rather long but very informative purport. Translation. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of his qualities and activities. This chanting is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful. But while dying, he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayan. So this chanting is so powerful that even unconscious chanting has these amazing results. Prabhupada writes about this. This power of chanting the holy name was proved by the liberation of Ajamil. When Ajamil chanted the holy name of Narayan, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. No, instead he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajamil certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death. And in such an awkward condition, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajamil to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajamil achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like Ajamil? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow, here comes the conclusion, with a strong vow, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. Please join me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thus one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. There is a verse from the Padma Purana. Nama paradayuktanam namanyeva harantyakam avishranti prayuktani tan yeva takarani cha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. So this is very encouraging, I find. Papakshayascha bhavati smaratam tam mahanisham. One becomes free from all sinful reactions if one chants day and night following the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here comes now the recommendation. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There's no other way. There's no other way. There is simply no other way. If the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, that's you by the way, if the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement strictly follow the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their position will always be secure. So yes, we find out that if already Ajamil with his unconscious chanting received such a high result, what then will happen to someone who sorrowfully learns to chant? Prabhupada says at another place, that's the 8th canto, it is imperative therefore that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting. You have to practice it, no? This, and with practice you will gain some mastery over this subject matter. We should not forget the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, says Srila Prabhupada. Under any circumstances, it will help us in the greatest danger. These are all very realized statements of the benefit of chanting the holy name. And I would like today ask a question to all of you. Can you actually chant the holy name? You might say, what? There is a statement which says, Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavetgrayam Indriyaya. The material senses cannot contact or grasp anything that is from the spiritual realm. It's not possible. Krishna is Sachit Ananda, full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. How will the material senses apprehend Krishna? How can you hope to apprehend something that comes from a higher plane, a divine sound that is not produced in the world of Maya? Maya, you must know, is a very has a very extensive reign. Maya's kingdom extends up to the highest planet, which is known Satya Loka. It is a place which lies beyond Viraja. Sometimes it's known as Brahma Loka. But the holy name is not to be found. It's not a production of anything in this huge realm. Instead, it descends or comes down from the spiritual sky, which is known as Paravyoma, so on. Now, if you wish to make really contact with this holy name, you need to some way or other start to spiritualize yourself. The first step which you absolutely must do
in order to touch this pure entity is you must learn what is sambandha, what is your relationship with Krishna, who you are as a spiritual soul, what is Krishna, what are his qualities, and so on. Then you stand a chance. There is something like chanting, but not chanting Krishna's holy name. Once in Mayapur, there was a kirtan festival where we had invited professional kirtaniyas to sing. They can play madanga, my dear devotees. Even our best madanga players in ISKCON would not be able to close their mouth, which would be wide open just to see them. They can have a range of voice which is extremely professional. There used to be a singer in Germany, her name was Nina Hagen. Maybe some of you have heard her or remembered it. She was known as having a range which would extend from the highest, but 10,000 light years higher than this sound, and then very deep, but much more deeper. Beautiful expression in her song. But still, she would not be able to sing the holy name. And she did not sing as nice as these Bengali singers. So they were chanting. Prabhupada was overhearing it. He was in his room at that time. And then he said, they are not chanting Hare Krishna. But they were chanting Hare Krishna, you know. Really, really impressive. Prabhupada said they are not chanting Hare Krishna. They chant money, money, money. Professionals, you know, they are invited for marriage ceremonies and they are given money. Because they didn't have sambandha, that is the knowledge who they are, the knowledge who is Krishna. And they did not chant in a worshipful way. They only had material senses. And again, with these material senses, you cannot grasp Krishna. You cannot just make with your mouth in the tongue and a few intensely repaired teeth. You can't hope to get Krishna in such a mouth. It is not so cheap. Krishna, the real name, who's not different from the sound vibration, is not so cheap. Krishna only descends when he is impressed by your sincere service spirit, which comes when you have sambandha, the knowledge of who you are and what is your purpose, what is the purpose of this world, and so on. Otherwise, chanting Hare Krishna is like trying to climb up raindrops to come to the heavenly planets. You can try as you wish. You won't reach there on your own strength. You can't make an effort with your material senses to reach Krishna's holy name. Krishna can, however, descend when he is pleased by your sincere service spirit. I would like to make this very clear by telling you an event which took place in the haunted temple. Do you understand the haunted temple? It sounds almost like a contradiction of terms. A haunted temple? Usually it's a haunted place, maybe an old house in Minnesota, you know. But a temple, come on. this story which you will hear now, which will make you shudder. It came, I'm trying to wake you up. It came in a newspaper in Bengal. So this is what happened. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went with a young Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on pilgrimage to a place called Kuliagram. It's here where Haridas Thakur chanted, and it is here where many other direct associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay. So as they were just about to enter the temple, not temple, the town, it was already evening time. They passed by an old temple which was situated on the outskirts of Kuliagram. Suddenly, a man came out from inside the temple. He looked very charismatic, if you so want, and he pleaded with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Please, it is the evening is coming, the sun is already setting, you will not be able to visit the holy places of Kuliagram. Why not spend the night in the temple, rest, then you can take a quick shower in the morning and then proceed into Kuliagram." Bhaktivinoda Thakur looked at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, "Fine, thank you for offering us accommodation for the night." So they stayed in the temple, but suddenly there was loud sounds and bricks, heavy bricks, started to fly through the air. Boom, 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 boom. Then there was wailing and howling, as if the one whose name should not be mentioned was active here. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sat up. He took his japamala and very loudly he chanted, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." He chanted throughout the night. I don't know what the, at that time, young Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made. I can't imagine that he rested, because it was just so spooky. Have some of you spent time in a haunted house? No one of you? Oh, here's someone. You have. Nadia Mani, you also? Where in England? In the new Brajamandala temple. Wow. Maybe we should make the next Japa retreat there. Have you seen movies about haunted places? Yes. You know, when the night, when the music goes, I have been in situations where on preaching tours, you know, we had these stage programs in all kinds of theaters, and afterwards we rolled our, when everyone was gone, we rolled out our sleeping bags on the stage and went to bed there. And my God, there were some really haunted places where then the ghosts try to come inside of you, and it feels almost if they want to take you over. And it's scary, you can't breathe, they sit on your chest and they go inside, and it's and there's only one solution. You have to somehow chant, But it's not so easy because they strangle you and you can't get the sound out. So it's your willpower against the willpower of the ghost. And you go like, and then once you get halfway through, or you know, then they can't stand. They leave you. And so it was something like this. Then in the early morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took a shower, and he went into Kulina Gram. And the people who were there on the street, they asked, "Oh, it's very early. Where did you sleep? I mean, did you walk through the night?" Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "No, we stayed in the temple outside the town." They went, in the haunted temple? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Yes, is that a haunted place?" Yeah, the priest there, he is a shapeshifter. Ooh. He was a priest, but then he became a ghost, and he can take human and non-human forms if he wants. He's one of those. Oh, said Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Yes, indeed, I it must have been him." And then he told how the bricks were flying, how there were these sounds, and so on and so forth. The people said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "But the priest, before all this happened, he always chanted Hare Krishna. And we know from the Bhagavatam that someone who chants Hare Krishna is freed from sinful reaction. So how is it possible that this Brahmana has become a ghost? He was not free from sinful reactions." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur then revealed something which I want to reveal to you also. I first learned it from Prabhupada. You may chant the holy name, but Krishna is not there. But what do you chant then? Listen to this very grave news. You chant actually only the outer letters of the holy name. Namakshara Bahiraya Pote Taba Nama Kabu Noya. One may vibrate the sound of the holy names, but it may not actually be the holy names. It's more, you know, something Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave an analogy of these medicinal capsules, which have this, you know, nowadays you can have these vegetable, or let us say, vegetarian capsules, and inside you put the active medicinal thing. So the capsule itself, although it may look like the active pill, is not the active pill if there is not inside this medically active substance, just an empty capsula cannot cure you. It doesn't have the healing ingredient. So in the same way, you can chant the holy name, but there is nothing in there. It's empty. Krishna is not there. Wow, this is heavy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talked about this. You cannot capture the name simply by vibrating the syllables with your tongue. Krishna will only descend or come down in his holy names when he is attracted by your service nature. Famously, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, your chanting cannot be just lip deep, where you make the sound. It must be heart deep. And with this he indicated that you must be in a devotional space. Then Krishna is attracted to you, otherwise not. Let's get this clear. We are material beings. Of course, we are spiritual beings, but we are covered with a mind, eight material elements, and mostly this is active when we are working as conditioned souls. We are robots, biochemical robots, which have somehow a survival instinct brought into them. How can we touch God? Think about it clearly. Do you think God realization is so cheap? Anyone can just sit down and Hare Krishna, and as he say it, Krishna is on his tongue. It doesn't work like that. Krishna, in his mercy, must descend and come down. So the people, they heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who said to them, this priest, yes, you saw him chanting on his mala, but he must have only chanted the external letters of the name. And the people immediately said, yes, he was of a very bad character. He did things, I don't know really what he did, that is not revealed, but maybe he took money from the hundi box, or is it called hundi box? Or maybe he behaved wrongly. Maybe he needed to be dealt with a child protection office, maybe something like this, and so on. And therefore Krishna really never appeared in his heart and purified him, because he was not capable to chant the holy name. So let's get this clear. Krishna, in the form of transcendental sound, descends from the transcendental world, which is beyond the kingdom of Maya. He descends into our world when he is attracted by our intense service attitude. Then he comes like a flash of lightning in a dark night. When he comes like this, darkness cannot stand any longer. In the Gita, we find a verse where Krishna describes how he descends. You may know this verse, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam. Yeah. Prakitim stamadishtaya sambhavami yuge yuge atma maya. Oops. So who knows the Sanskrit? I'm getting old. That means my verses leave me. Anyways, they were never mine to begin with. Ajopi san avyat Abhyopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. Then prakritim svamadishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Atma Mayaya, my own energy. By my own energy I come. He doesn't come by Satchinandan Swami's energy. Even if Satchinandan Swami does a lot of concentration techniques, traktaka, breathing, you know, it's not by our energy. He comes when he is by his own energy, when he is attracted, and then he totally takes over. He comes first on your tongue, then, as Rupa Goswami says, he comes in your mind, and then he goes into the courtyard of your heart where he dances. And at that time, the senses and the mind are no longer materially active. They become materially inert, no? But they become ecstatic in some ways. My dear devotees, what does this mean for our holy name retreat? It means that we should look at Krishna with affectionate respect. That, O Krishna, you are so high. O Krishna, your holy name is so special. Please, my Lord, appear on my tongue. Please engage me in your service, because only when you see me serving you and see me in a serving spirit, then you appear. I've read that also in other traditions it is known that Krishna is identical with his holy name. In the ancient Christianity, the Christianity which you find displayed in the Old Testament, that is before Jesus, there was a practice in Jerusalem. There was the sacred main temple, and do you know there were specially trained priests who lived extremely pure, celibate, vegetarian, only reading the scriptures. So once a year they came out of this temple, the golden temple, and went to this waiting congregation of people, and then they pronounced the sacred name of the Lord, and everyone would bow down to that name, knowing that the Lord is identical with the name, and if such pure souls as these priests chant them, who prepare themselves for the whole year, then he's present. This practice was discontinued because it seemed to not happen any longer, that the Lord would appear in sound. I like this description very much. I want to ask you, has Krishna appeared to you? I want to ask you, after all these years where you do your spiritual practice, have you chanted the holy name with love and affection in your heart? I want to also ask you, how is your service spirit? Do you have service spirit that you like to do for Krishna and Krishna's devotees? These questions need to be asked not in a judgmental way, not in a condescending way, not in a critical way, not in a discouraging way. No, this question should be asked in the most encouraging way possible. I believe all of you have genuine spiritual experiences. When I see you before from the front, I think, oh, these devotees are so advanced. I'm very happy. Hopefully something rubs off from them unto me. I see you are endeavoring and doing effort. But you need to know that when you sit down in the morning, you are doing nothing short of showing up for a meeting with God. Nothing short than that. Nothing less than that. And I believe if you do have this frame of mind, I'm sitting down now, I'm calling out the names of the Lord, petitioning Him through my chanting to please be kind upon me, to please look upon me with kindness and with forgiveness and compassion, that the Lord, being attracted by your sincere devotional mood, will come. This is possible, my dear devotees. Let us not, become discouraged because we may see too little success stories around us, and we ourselves may not yet be a success story. But this is possible. The Lord can descend. There's a very amazing praman means proof of this in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. May I surprise you?
Yes.
Good. Yagya yadanama pataye viti naipunaya yogaya shankya shirase prakitishvaraya. Now listen to this. Narayanaya haraye nama ityudaram hasyan mrigatvamapiya samudajaharam. This is about a deer. A special deer. Who was he in his life before? Bharata. Yes, we all know about this special deer. So he had committed a mistake, but he was a very, very good devotee. It is said by one commentator, the reason why Bharata became attached to the deer was because the deer had such big eyes and they reminded him of Krishna's eyes. You know, he was very, very astute, but still he lost his spiritual practice and so on. So when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. Imagine, the tongue of the deer is normally not made to say some prayer. Have you seen the deer? You are here in New Vrindavan. There are deers, ample deers are available. And they live with us here in peace and happiness. I have not yet seen a speaking deer. I have seen a roaring deer when they are in their family foundation phase, you know, and so on. Male deers I've seen, but but he said, Narayanaya Haraye. In English, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrificed, personified. Yagyaya Dharma Pataye. He gives the result of ritualistic activities. And so on and so forth. He's just saying out different names. Yagyaya Dharma Pataye and so on. And then he says, I'm quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. He says, in other words, please engage me in your service. Saying this, Maharaj Bharata, in the body of the deer, left that dear body. So what is this? This shows that Krishna had appeared on the tongue of the deer. Do you have another example from the Bhagavatam where the Lord appears on the tongue of an animal? Gajendra, yes. So Krishna can appear also on a human tongue. on your tongue, if he is pleased by your genuine mood, your genuine service. Otherwise, you have the letters, the aksharas, which is also a little good. It is not totally useless, but it will never actually satisfy you. It will not make you ecstatic. Or let us say it in American terms, it will not make you give up Netflix. That type of chanting will not make you ecstatic enough to give up certain material attachments. I'm mentioning the most innocent ones, you know, to not make us blush early in the morning, you know. But only when you chant the full holy name or something, a fuller holy name, when it's at least a little Krishna's there, then you will be able to get a higher taste. And then your soul, which is so much yearning for this experience, will be satisfied. So in a holy name retreat, we are trying, all of us, to learn to practice chanting the holy name in such a way so that there is some little ruchi, some little taste born from the contact with Krishna. My dear devotees, if you can only take this one point with you, that you are tired, in fact embarrassed, of chanting without taste and just having to somehow finish it so that you get your prasadam and are not ostracized or rejected from the... Anyways, no one gets rejected from the movement. Because you can do very nicely. You can have chanted no rounds, but when you come to the temple, you can make a little trick. Wow. No one will see it. Only Krishna will see it. You can have your bebek around as if you chant every day, very ecstatic rounds. You know, you can have a very nice decoration there showing how advanced you are. You can have big, big tulsi malas around your neck. You can deceive many people, but not Krishna. Krishna wants to see, did you chant praying to him? Was there some little feeling there, devotional feeling, my dear Lord, kindly be kind upon me, and so on. And then Krishna says, okay, he really wants me. After, you know, I will end here with my favorite chanting story. When Draupadi had been saved by Krishna, Krishna visited her, and Draupadi, still under this traumatic experience where she was pulled into the public assembly and where Dushasan was disrobing her, something which a noble lady is. When this happens to a noble lady, they make suicide afterwards. They can't live with this blemish. So Draupadi must still have been trembling after Krishna had supplied endless amount of sari. So when she met Krishna, she said only one thing. She looked at his eyes and said, Govinda, why did you wait so long? Dushasan had almost disrobed me. Is this your promise to protect your devotees? You didn't come. Krishna said, listen carefully, Draupadi. I wanted to come. When you were brought into the assembly for this heinous act, I wanted to come. But you didn't turn to me. when they were trying to disrobe you, you turned to the kings and said, "Is this Dharma?" When the kings turned away, you went to Bhishma. You turned to grandfather Bhishma. "Oh, grandsire, protector of the Kuru dynasty," you said, "please protect me." When Bhishma turned away from you, you tried to defend yourself with your strong arms, your Kshatriya lady. Only when no one and nothing could help you, you turned to me and you shouted out, "Hey Govinda, hey Janardana." And then I thought, well, now she calls me. Before that, she was with the kings, or with the Bhishma. And then I protected you by giving you unlimited amount of sari. Draupadi, think, remember. Remember, do you know why I gave you sari? Do you know why I protected you in this way? Draupadi was by all this way in a very devotional mood. And as she thought, she remembered one incident which showed that Krishna had known what would come. He knew of the loaded game of dice. He knew that Draupadi would be lost in that game of dice and become really desperate. It was like this. Draupadi remembered. Krishna had come and visited Hastinapur regularly, and in the afternoon Draupadi was in the habit to give him a platter of fruits. Now one day she brought in sitaphalas, which need to be cut, and then immediately when they are cut and before they oxidate, before they oxidize, you know, then you have them, you throw them in the, or put them in the mouth. So Draupadi couldn't cut the fruits because they wouldn't be totally fresh. So she gave the fruit platter with the sitaphalas, and there was a knife. Krishna took the knife. He took the fruit, and then looking in the eye of Draupadi, he cut his finger. The Lord is Daksha. He knows how to cut a sitaphal. He must have had a thought in it. Listen, he had a thought. Draupadi immediately, "Oh, my Lord, you are cut." And she took her sari, part of it, you know, and ripped it. She was very strong and immediately bandaged the finger of Krishna. And Krishna so lovingly, so confidentially said, "Draupadi, for this gift of a sari, I will repay you a millionfold." Isn't that endearing? He wanted to save Draupadi. It was not that, and he wanted to do it in a special way so that Draupadi would remember that she served Krishna at that time when he had cut his finger. And she had served him with a precious sari. I heard this was the most precious sari Draupadi had. You know, really with gold and silver and embroidery and so on. But she ripped it to serve Krishna. And Krishna, never forget this. He wanted to come. But Draupadi needed to learn one thing. Chant Hare Krishna, or chant the names of Krishna, but turn to Krishna. Otherwise, he may not feel invited. Yes. Very deep subject. So, yes, my dear Prabhus, consider the story of the haunted temple. Really, it was in the newspaper. I'm not making anything up here. Kotvi, and try to chant not empty medicinal capsulas, but full medicinal capsulas, where you chant in a devotional mood. How to do this, we will learn in the, you all know much better than me, but we will look at this at the workshop. God, Hare Krishna, it's exactly 9:15 on my wristwatch. Let me see, is there one singular question? But it has to be on the subject matter, right? Not some Hari Prasad.
So, with Draupadi, the thing that has always confused me in that example is that she's depending on the arrangements that Krishna can make for her. Like, Bhishma Dev is a devotee, a great devotee, and she's calling out to him for help.
Mm-hmm.
We also understand from Nectar of Devotion that self-defense is a natural instinct, that Krishna gives us that ability and impetus.
When she hold on, yeah.
Yeah, and God helps those who help themselves. And with the example of Srivas Thakur, who does not go out to beg, it's because he's at a certain level of adhikar, that he has this faith that Krishna will supply everything, so he doesn't need to do his duty. But for us, it's very difficult, at least for me, it's very difficult to connect with that mood when I'm chanting. And I struggle with, as you put it, not pushing, but being pulled by Krishna. So I'm curious how we can better understand this story of Draupadi and our own pushing tendencies and the need to see Krishna's arrangements in our lives versus really just fully taking shelter of him.
Spiritual stories are taught to us to make us wake up. They bring certain points to us. The point here is mechanical chanting will not help. You must chant and turn to Krishna. This is the main point. If you turn, you can turn to Krishna. Obviously, you will, like they say in Arabia, you know, trust in Allah, but tie your camel to the post, you know. You obviously make the arrangements which you need to do as a responsible person and so on. But you turn to Krishna. That's the idea, no? That's the idea. Sometimes we only turn to our arrangements and never to Krishna. In fact, we are not in danger of using our own arrangements. We are in danger of forgetting Krishna, and therefore such a story is made. Yes. My dear devotees, this is a Krishna-centered movement, in case you didn't notice. That's the main point. And the other things, yes, obviously, the normal rational human mind should not be given up. Of course, you don't drive in the car and you say, Krishna, you drive my car. Bang, and you go in the car. This would be very, very atheistic, I think, you know, trying to challenging Krishna. I think that is already obvious. What is not obvious is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Good, my dear devotees, I see other hands up. In fact, I see 5 hands up. Why don't we do one thing? In the beginning of the workshop, we can have an exciting question and answer session with a well-rested Sachinandan Swami, so that it goes very brief, ping, 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 and then we do the workshop. But we should keep the rhythm of the retreat going. So we will just ask Gopi Manjari to help us see the day clearly. Thank you very, very much for this. I hope this was interesting for you.